We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Astronaut, he scores!
Take it easy, champ.
Shot Marchand scores!
Loud!
Marchand, he closes and scores!
Krug,
blast, scores!
That escalated quickly.
Dale Arnold.
You know, I don't make those decisions, and I'm, you know, who's ever out there, that's who I gotta play with.
The nicest way ever of saying they're horrible and they don't belong in the league.
Rich Key.
Dolphins, Redskins.
Yes.
Jets, Bengals.
Is this the Patriots schedule you're reading?
Dale and Keith, middays.
How do you spell do?
You got horse balls.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We don't have to go back over that part, do we?
Nope. Skip over that, Dale. That's fine.
Right on by. Thank you, John,
that's
for putting that in the
show.
Open so we can hear it four times today.
There you go.
I plead ignorance. I was shy.
Wow. Yeah. He didn't even hesitate, did he?
No, buried him.
Me.
Just buried
him. Well, right under the bus. I'm like Brady to the tight ends yesterday.
Exactly.
It's like Tekashi 6'9". He did it, Your Honor.
Wiggy's in the house because it's Wednesday. Hello, Wiggy.
What's going on?
Can I just take a brief moment to sincerely thank my Jewish brothers and sisters.
Go ahead.
For the easiest damn commute ever this morning.
Everybody had the day. Why didn't we have the day off?
You know, I've wondered about that.
You know? Too much to get to. Too many.
You'd have to convert.
Why, is today a holiday?
Yes.
It's Yom Kippur.
You didn't notice it was easier driving in today?
There was no cars out there.
No.
There's nobody out there.
The traffic is not too bad, but the Tobin's just always a
bleep
show.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter what day it is.
Yeah, so, no, I didn't know that.
You didn't notice it?
I did not notice that.
Like Cruz did. So, Dale, you're in a better mood then. There's no traffic today. You feel
please,
good?
You kidding? Sleep is overrated.
You had a little bit of a late night last
work
night.
Work till God knows all hours.
So, you knew, tomorrow's going to be a good day because
it's, I didn't realize. I got about halfway here and I went,
where is
something's
everybody?
Wrong.
I know. And it's like the scene out of the Langoliers.
What is it called? Yom Kippur. Okay.
Yeah. What are you giving that a bing right now?
No, no.
It's fine.
I mean, I don't.
It's
you
not going to be a huge topic today.
I'm not well versed on the Jewish.
That'll be hour three.
No, we're not going to break it down
hour
today.
Hour three, Rich.
Yeah, I'm not well versed on the Jewish holidays.
No, that's
so.
Fine. That's all right.
Well, we got a lot of stuff we will get to today, including. I'm a little confused. Now, I was working last night, so I didn't get to hear it live, but I heard Ken just played a cut of it during the Greg Hill show. You and Tommy Curran had beef.
Yeah, I don't even know what Tommy Curran's problem was. We'll talk at 1 o'clock, and Wiggy was there. Wiggy was
a
witness to the whole thing.
I was
thing.
A witness to the whole thing.
We were talking about, Dale, the Tom Brady comments about the tight ends yesterday. We spent a good chunk of time yesterday because we played the Tom Brady press conference live, and then
and we
reacted to it. We laughed at it. We reacted to it because he was asked two or three times about how comfortable he is or has he seen improvement with Ryan Izzo and Matt LaCoste. And after he just got done saying how much he loves Benjamin Watson, he misses Benjamin Watson and all these things, and my locker is right there, what a great person he is. Then he just said, I'm the quarterback. I will play whoever's out there on the field. So basically he buried those two guys, and then Curran got all snappy at me. I don't know what was going on.
Rich, I think it's completely disingenuous and completely trying to make something out of absolutely nothing and construct something.
Maybe for you it's nothing, and maybe that's what you're saying.
No, you're
there's never been anything here, but I feel like
you're constructing
always
a narrative that the Patriots have been this unbelievably upfront team about everything. Brady's pretty upfront this season about the guys you're surrounded by not being good enough.
And I have no problem with that.
And I think that's what Tom
I'm
was.
Glad that he did that.
But I think that's what Tom was trying
about?
To say today, Rich. I think what Tom was trying.
Yeah, let's hear.
Wiggy wants to talk.
Okay, have that. Yeah.
No,
right.
What Tom was trying to say is obviously he's
me?
Played. No, Tom Brady.
Yes, yeah.
The one that's more important. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Wiggy, lay low. Let him go.
That was
later. No, we did.
That was after about 10 minutes of them going after it. That was at the end of it.
But he was saying that the Patriots don't say anything, which was really not the argument to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of them are coached up really well, and they don't say much. You know, I love talking to James White, but he's not going to give you a lot of bulletin board material. He's not going to bury anybody. He's not going to do any of that. Tom Brady has been doing it for so long that he chooses what he says very carefully.
Right.
So At no point did he say the words, Ryan Izzo sucks. Oh, he didn't say that.
He never would.
Of course not.
By the way, even if Ryan Izzo did suck,
right,
he'd never say
it. It was your interpretation. It's the interpretation of the person listening
right
to what he might be.
And that's our job to do that.
The underlining message, if there's one there.
And don't you think that every time Tom Brady is on the Greg Hill show, or every time Tom Brady is on with Jim Gray, or every time Tom Brady speaks at the press conference, there's always one or two things in there that you can look at and really figure out what exactly he means.
Right.
And I thought yesterday was one of those examples. He was trashing on the tight ends. And, that's fine. I'm not. First of all, he's not even wrong. Those guys are terrible.
Well, see it wasn't necessarily trashing on the tight ends, but I will agree with you. I'll agree with you to a certain point that he didn't give them that vote of confidence when they asked about the tight end position.
Wiggy, the master softball of the understatement.
Yeah, right.
Didn't give them that vote of confidence.
Like, they just set like this huge beach ball up, and all Brady had to do was spike it down. But to his credit, he wouldn't lie.
And you feel more comfortable with the tight end situation having lost Watson?
Am I more comfortable?
Because you lost Watson, are you more comfortable now with those two guys in being able to fill that role?
I mean, it's just I'm the quarterback, so you know I don't make those decisions, and I'm who's ever out there, that's who I got to play with. So, yeah.
Oh, so from the beginning of the season to now, have those guys improved? Have you seen things in Lacoste and Izzo that make you more comfortable with them?
Yeah, those guys are they're competing hard, and I think they're trying. And you know, Matt hasn't been out there as much as we've all would have wanted. Certainly, what he would have wanted. Ryan's done quite a few things for us, and I think part of the reference to practice earlier is we're trying to get out there and utilize the reps we can in practice, talk about things, communicate through the things that come up in practice, so that again we can execute when we need to in the game.
I actually give Brady a ton of credit for not lying. It would have been so easy to say, we're good.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting better every day. Still have a ways to go, but everybody's getting better. Mm-hmm. He could have lied, and then it would have been a non-story. But the question was, it was a yes-no question. Like, do you feel more confident?
Confidence or comfortable?
I think it might have been both, even. Right. But anyway, do you feel more comfortable? Have they improved? Because there's a follow-up question in there.
Right.
And he does. The answer is no, but he's not going to say it. But he's also not going to lie and say yes. And that's why he ends up going with that kind of long answer about, I'm the quarterback. That's pretty damning for those guys.
Like I said, it's definitely not the vote of confidence that you want if you're one of those two guys. But
I wonder what those two guys think as they're sitting there in the locker room.
Hanging on by a thread
getting ready to go out to practice today. I mean, do you think they talked privately?
Those two?
Did you hear what he said?
We're screwed, huh?
I don't know how many people might have heard. I don't know if they might have heard what he said.
Well, maybe not live, but they've heard about it.
They're probably in the situation where they're like, man, we got to make sure that we get the job done.
Right.
We know how Tom is, right? We know his personality. Granted, you might have only been here for, a few months or whatever that may be, but you know how demanding he is. You might have heard young guys or guys got to step up on offense. So there's probably that type of talk throughout the meeting rooms of we need to do more on offense, especially in the passing game.
Here's where Brady's dead wrong.
Okay.
When he says it's not my job to help them. No, it is exactly your job.
It is exactly your job to help them.
We saw the footage.
Him and Antonio Brown, right?
Him and Antonio Brown are on the press.
But you don't think he does that? See,
But he said it's not my job to help them.
No,
it is.
I'm just the quarterback?
I'm willing to bet you he does that and says, hey.
Then he shouldn't have said that.
Well, but it was more about the comfort and confidence.
But it's one step away from Allen Iverson. How am I supposed to make somebody better by practicing?
That's
what he said during that whole practice rant. He was like, how am I supposed to make somebody else better?
About practice.
It's like, when you're the best player, in this case, when you're the quarterback, the quarterback gets so much credit. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is because they are the most important player on the field for the offense. They really dictate whether or not you're going to have a successful offense or not. They have the ability to get other guys involved more than a wide receiver would or a running back would or even an offensive lineman would. And so, isn't it?
But doesn't it sound worse, though, if he goes, I do help these guys to get it, but they ain't getting it?
No, he wouldn't say that. But what he can say is, I work with these guys all the time. We're working on getting better.
But they do that, though.
Every he didn't morning, say that, way. He doesn't stop have to say that. That
every
comment.
Every morning before meetings, when I was there, and they still do it to this day, every single morning, they meet. Tom Brady, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the running backs meet as a group individually, I mean, as a group with no coaches, and Tom Brady leading the meeting saying, here's what we need to do in the passing game. We're watching film. Here's what I see. When I see this coverage, I expect this. When I see the coverage, this, here's where I expect you to go. So every single morning and day, they do that. So I think what he is saying is, I help these guys, and I help them to a certain point, but I cannot make them get open, and I cannot make them catch the football. The first play of the game, they run a 5-yard tight end stick route to Lacoste.
Yeah,
Brady puts it right in his hands, and he drops it. So what I think Tom is saying is that I'm doing everything in my power as far as helping these guys. He's out there standing with them and saying, hey, come here. When you see this, the same way he did with Antonio Brown, he's doing that with those guys. You think he's not doing that with them? You'd be naive to think that.
He probably doesn't. I don't think he does it as much because he probably sees, all right, there's upside with Antonio Brown. I bet, again, he invited him to live at his house. Like, he realized how important Antonio Brown was. These other guys, like, has he gotten to the point where he's sort of given up on him?
No, because he's probably gotten to the point where it's like, hey, this is what you guys need to do. We meet every morning. I tell you what you need to do. I'm telling you what I'm seeing, and if I see this, I expect that. Now it's your job as the tight end to now go study, even learn more and more and more so you could be on the same page.
Right.
And then when you do that, catch the damn football
they
and make a play.
They might not be able to, though.
Just
right?
like the pass that he threw to Izzo, right? So
yeah.
Izzo runs like a little out towards the sideline, and Brady kind of throws
didn't
it by.
Didn't look in sync,
it didn't
did
look
it?
Like they were
no.
on the same page, but that's the point that he's getting at.
Yeah.
He's probably in that I know for without a shadow of a doubt, he's in that meeting room. He goes, when we run this formation and we run this play, expect the ball to be here because of the safety being over in this area, and he doesn't do
How's
that.
How's that different than Josh Gordon? Because they don't seem to be on the same page all the time either.
But don't you think Brady was talking about everybody when he had?
No, he was asked about the tight end.
No. But
in this case, it was the tight end.
In this case, but the Jim Gray time where he said, you know, guys got to go out there. The Jim Gray interview where he made it a point to say the guys on offense got to do more or something to that effect.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about everybody. Not the only guy he's probably excluding from that is Julian Edelman.
Edelman probably is the only guy. Right, I would say so. Yeah, Gordon does not seem like he's getting open very much. Obviously, Dorsett is hurt right now. Jacoby Myers, sort of, he's the guy that gets a lot of the brunt of it, too, because he's the one young guy that's a receiver. But I think it's really the tight ends. And the other thing that's tough for Izzo and Lacoste is they're not replacing Benjamin Watson. They're not replacing a average tight end. These are the next guys after Gronk. So
right.
Brady's been throwing to the best
Anybody
tight end.
Anybody was going to suffer
Yeah,
by
that's
comparison.
Tough. That's tough right. to show up, and you're like, I'm the Gronk replacement, and I know Gronk wasn't the all-pro receiver last year that he was in years past,
mm-hmm.
but he was still the guy that they could rely on. You know, key third downs, they could throw the ball to Gronk. They're not doing that to Izzo or Lacoste, and I don't know how many guys Brady would have felt comfortable with. I mean, maybe Martellus Bennett.
But I don't even know if they would have did that to Ben Watson.
I don't think they would have. No, I really don't.
We had this conversation, right? How much of an upgrade would Ben Watson have really been over Izzo and Lacoste?
I don't think much.
I don't think that Tom Brady would have said the same things about Ben Watson he said about Izzo and Lacoste.
Well, that's because he has a relationship with Ben Watson.
No, he knows Ben Watson knows where to be and when. He doesn't think they do.
Right.
He would talk totally differently.
He
not just because he likes him and he's a locker mate. No,
he likes him and everything, but I to Wiggy's point, I think the results wouldn't have been significantly better. Like, Ben Watson's had the drops his whole career.
He might have been where Izzo was, but he might have dropped it.
Right. Like, I think if he was for sure going to be better, Belichick's not cutting him.
Right.
You know, they'll figure out another way to create cap space. If that was the only reason they cut him was cap space, they could find other ways to do it. So I think they looked at it and said, he might be maybe a tick better.
How they looked at it? And you could tell from what Ben Watson, how he put on, he tweeted out that thing where he said, you know, I'm disappointed. I wasn't good enough to make the team. They look at it like Izzo and Lacoste are a better player where they are right now in their career. The three of them, they look at Izzo and Lacoste to being better than what Ben Watson is. And it could be the fact that they're younger, so maybe they feel like Lacoste can get down the seam faster than Watson, got a little bit more kick than he has. They might feel like Izzo is probably a better blocker than Watson.
We have a tendency, though, here, and look, for good reason. He's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. We all agree with that. Mm-hmm. We've all seen what he's done. But it's somewhat like Dan Marino in the later days of his career, where Dan Marino never made a bad pass. It was always because somebody was in the wrong place, somebody didn't do the right thing. I see Tom Brady miss Josh Gordon on the wide-open long shot on Sunday, and I just assume Josh Gordon screwed up. I never suggest, maybe Tom didn't throw that very well.
It was a bad pass, yeah.
But we don't do that.
I think Gordon could have made more of an effort, though. And I love Gordon, but I was like,
We look at certain passes. Yeah, we look at certain passes. You're talking about the post route down the middle.
Yep.
But early in the game, he completely airmailed somebody. They ran like a curl route. He threw 5 yards over the head. So there are times we look at it and go, that was on Brady. That was
Not very often around here.
Well, because he doesn't make that mistake often. Most of the time, if you had a bet, who was in the wrong, either Brady or the receiver or the tight end?
I always assumed that the receiver's in the wrong.
And you'd be right.
Go back to the one Antonio Brown game. He missed him in the end zone, and you could tell the way Brady reacted that he knew that was his fault.
Yeah, he had the throw.
It was him being Brady. He messed that up,
Those are far and few between when we see Brady not being on the same page. Generally, Brady's on the same page. He just either throws the ball too deep, he throws it too short.
True, especially when you get into the young guys, we don't know. We don't know what the play call was.
Right.
Whereas Josh McDaniels knows, all right, Jacoby Myers was in the right spot. Ryan Izzo was in the right spot. You missed him. Brady and McDaniels know, and so do the receivers. But everybody at home is going to look at it and say, well, clearly
the
second-year tight end didn't know where he was.
And you don't know, and the other issue is with that, is you don't know the depth. Maybe they're telling Izzo, we need you to go 10 yards.
As I'm saying,
goes 8 yards or he goes 12 yards.
And then McDaniels and Brady are saying, well, you got to run the right route. And then we're going to start, or if not, we're going to stop getting you out there.
Or you don't see the safety. You don't know where the safety is. And that's on you to do it as the player.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. We will talk to Andrew Raycroft, my Nesson colleague, at 11:30 today. He's sort of our Tuukka Rask whisperer, and I think most Bruins fans were a little concerned when they saw Rask helped off the ice after the win last night in Vegas.
Yeah, that was weird.
So Andrew will join us at 11:30. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will start yelling at Keith at about 1:02.
Yeah, you think he's calmed down or you think he's just amping up?
I don't know. I think he might be. He might have went home and did some research.
I think so.
Because you did kind of wait a second. You kind of backed him in the corner a little bit.
I know what I said.
You got him against the ropes.
We lead every one of our shows with Tom Brady press conference quotes. And he was like, oh, yeah.
That's right.
Pretty much all the time. We'll get to the calls with you, though, coming up next at 617-779-7937. But first, it's time to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Got a little heated there.
Where am I wrong?
I'm just
what
doing a hockey game with Billy and Andrew, just doing my thing,
I
find out
pucks.
People are yelling at my friend.
I got Gary screaming at me, saying that I'm making stuff up. What did I make up?
And he says, he's the king of making stuff up.
He's the king. He's the king.
And he would know better than anybody.
But what am I saying that's wrong? Is Brady complimenting the tight ends at any point there?
Well, you said that
you
Brady
did overstate
hates
it a little.
I don't think I did.
He's saying they don't belong in the league.
I stand by it.
That might be a little harsh.
Maybe practice squads. He doesn't. doesn't mind if they're on the practice squad.
You said he hates them.
He hates them as the player. Yeah, they might be best buds. Yeah, they might be, you know,
as a player.
Yeah. He can go out to dinner with these guys, taking a film. I don't know what they do, but the,
you almost make it seem like that Brady would rather have me or Christian.
I guarantee you he would.
Ryan's done quite a few things for us.
Yeah, name one.
if I'm Izzo,
got a touchdown pass.
He did catch a touchdown. That's true.
But if I'm
you're that open, Dale, you would have caught that.
You are right to a certain point. If I'm Izzo and I'm Lacoste, I'm sitting there and I'm hearing this. I'm like, man.
So when you played in the league, were you aware of like what Dante Culpepper said during his press conference?
No, not really.
Now something like this, Dale. To your point, if they're specifically talking about you. Maybe a friend of yours hears it and says, hey, did you hear what Culpepper said?
Yeah,
but like overall, you could probably care less.
Yeah, unless it's a friend that actually hears it and says, oh, man, did you hear what Brady said about you?
Yeah.
Or did you hear what they're saying on the radio about Brady hates you? If you have that type of friend who's listening to sports talk radio.
And like Twitter and Instagram makes it easier too, right?
Because, yeah, now
because
it does.
Like if you're looking at your notifications, some fan might have said, oh, my God, he clearly hates Ryan Izzo or whatever. And then they're scrolling through and you're like, wait a minute, what'd he say?
But it definitely
or
is.
He could just listen to you, which he
probably does
say.
He's a big fan of the
but
show.
But as a former player, it definitely would have me shaken up if I did hear it. And it's like, man, this is the quarterback. And not only is he just, you know, so I can't go
not
back.
He's just the quarterback.
Not right. A quarterback or the
he's,
quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterback. So I can't go back and go, what's this dude talking about? He can't throw the 5 yard out. I was open to this. So I can clap back a little bit. You can't do that with Tom Brady because
he's my quarterback.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time. And now you're knowing this dude don't really want to throw me the football.
Yeah.
And that
couldn't even lie and said, yes, they've improved every week. Couldn't even do it.
So imagine having to go to work knowing that. And knowing that, you know, you're already in the meetings and he's probably saying to you as well as the coaching staff. And the other person who's probably, you know, putting it in their ear more than anybody is the position coach, the tight end coach. Like, fellas, we need, you know, they want us to do more in this offense because they'll tell you. They want us to do more, but they don't have confidence in us right now. I just came from the meeting with Josh, and Josh feels like he don't have no confidence in us as a group.
Gronk was targeted, I believe, on average of 5.5 times a game last year, which actually is pretty low for Gronk.
Compared to what it's been in the
past. Yeah, he was more of a blocker last year. There were some games where the number was really low, but he was targeted about 5.5 times per game. Both tight ends combined, I think, are averaging like less than 2 targets. Right. I think there's been like 11 targets in 5 games for the tight end. There was an uptick against Washington, which, again, I also found curious because that was the weekend that you could have had Watson back. You didn't, and then you decided to throw to both of these guys a little bit more.
It seemed fairly clear that Josh was saying, Tom, we're getting these guys involved.
Yeah, they tried a lot of new stuff. I mean, they threw the ball to Sony Michel, they handed the ball to James White, and they threw to the tight end. So those were three things that we really didn't see at all in the first 4 weeks of the year. And 3 of the 4 games, there was a lot of success overall, but you also played just trash teams. So I don't know how – I don't think they felt great about the offense even still. Despite all the points that they've scored, I don't think they feel – like the offense is clicking.
And they weren't very successful throwing to Lacoste. They were successful throwing to Izzo because, what did they target him twice? And he caught 2 balls or something like that.
I think he was 2 for 2. Just in the Washington game. He was 2 for 2. Lacoste was 1 for 4.
Yeah. So, but you look at, you can clearly tell in their mind that Lacoste is more of the receiving tight end. And he's just not getting the job done.
No. And neither one of them appeared to be blocking tight ends.
And I don't even disagree with you, Wiggy. You know that position, you know, 100 times more than I'll ever know it. Then why was Ben Watson let go? If Matt Lacoste is, as you said, not getting it done, I'm with you.
Right.
Ben Watson would know where to go and where
because
to be.
Because they feel like Lacoste
is money, right?
No. I think it's a little bit of money, but they also feel like Lacoste might be a better player than Ben Watson. Granted, he might not know where to go, but if we can get him there, he's going to do more with it than Ben Watson would be able to do it. Or he would be able to threaten the seam more than Ben Watson because he's a little bit faster.
And outside of, Antonio Gates, you don't see a ton of 38-year-old tight ends either. I guess Witten's old. But for the most part, I mean, that's
right.
You're expecting a lot out of a guy who is going to be 39 at some point this season, right? Like, that's a lot.
And when you look at Watson, he's been a good player, but you said, like, he's had the issues.
He's dropped passes, for sure.
Witten is a guy that you look at him as a player.
His career much better.
One of the greatest tight ends.
Same with Gates.
So if you could get a Jason Witten that you know, okay, we could throw him the football. He might have lost his step. He might not be as fast, but he knows where to go. He knows he can make some plays. We know he can catch the football. That's why you say yes, but when you're talking about Watson and you're comparing him to Lacoste, because I think that's what it came down to.
Yeah, probably.
It came down to them two because Izzo's the blocker. So,
but is he, though?
But in their
supposed
minds.
To be. Yeah,
in their minds, right?
Now, do you think Brady would really, really want a tight end at the trade deadline, or does he just say, just give me another guy to throw to? I don't really care what position he plays.
Or a left tackle.
Well, hopefully that guy is on the roster still. I mean, they would definitely want to. You don't want Newhouse being your starting left tackle in the playoffs, and maybe it's Isaiah Wynn. But would he be – so let's say they got Manuel Sanders or whatever.
Let's go Tyler Eifert.
Yeah,
right?
I think he would love that.
He has 20 targets through the first however many five games for Cincinnati.
Which would be the third most on the Patriots.
Yeah, 13 catches, 95 yards, and one touchdown. So when you look at him as a player –
wait, Eifert only has 95 yards?
Yeah, receiving? 95 receiving yards.
Let's get him in here.
Well, he's got Andy Dalton throwing to him. So let's cut him some slack point here.
Well, they're at least making an attempt. 20 catches through the first five games. You know, he's getting targeted for average of four times a game.
But do you think that because, again, I just look at this offense, and for 20 years, the tight end has been so important. So can they get where they want to be and have just zero production at the tight end spot?
And they bring in Emmanuel Sanders or Diggs?
Yeah, let's say if they do that, then does it not matter?
Yeah, they'll be fine.
As long as it's just another guy to throw to, right?
As long as it's another guy.
Yeah.
Don't look at it as a position. Look at it, who can they bring in to help with the passing game?
Now, if the defense wasn't as good as it is, you could probably make a good case that they need a tight end and a receiver. But because the defense is so good, can't you say, all right, just bring in one other guy. You still got Edelman. You got James White. Between Gordon and Dorsett, you get something. But the defense is so good that for many years, Brady made up for whatever it was.
Oh,
he made up for the offense. He even made up for the defense. But now the defense can help make up for what's going on offense.
I mean, I know that every judgment we make about the Patriots is set alongside, you know, who they played, what's the opposition. I understand all that. The Patriots right now are averaging 31 points a game. That's third in the NFL behind only the Niners and the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bitching about how bad the offense is.
Well, you know who else is bitching about it? Tom Brady, right? Well, Tom Brady is not loving the offense. And does that include the two defensive touchdowns, too? It probably does, right?
Yes, points per game.
So it's points per game, and so the defense has been a part of that, and they have given you some great opportunities there, not only scoring on their own.
Oh, that's the biggest thing. Think about the opportunities you talk about.
Oh, yeah.
How the field has been flipped. Like, that's something that we tend to look over, right? We might look at the defense and go, look at the defensive touchdowns. But think about it, Washington, two turnovers inside Washington's 40-yard line, and you're not able to come away with anything?
And I think that's why Brady's frustrated, and he sees it. And, yeah, great, you've scored a bunch of points, but he's thinking about, all right, late in the season when we're playing against better offenses, so the defense is going to have a tougher challenge. We might be also playing against better defenses.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'll take that back. The Patriots' points per game, the 31 points.
Does not include.
Just offense.
Got it. Okay. I mean, that's a good number, but I think also the short fields and things like that the defense has done. Also, one of those games you had Antonio Brown.
Right.
Right? So you basically scratch that one off. I know he didn't score like eight touchdowns, but the point is Brady felt really good about the offense that day. And then once he was removed, he really since that moment,
right?
Brady's been the most upset because you gave him the best receiver in the league. He saw what it was like to have him for 2 weeks of practice and 1 week of a game. And then you take him away, and now he's upset. He's looking around saying, we could be better. We need to add somebody else.
You throw the Antonio Brown in, getting rid of him, and then you throw the Julian Edelman injury in,
right,
which was like maybe, you know, second half of the Jets game somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense, when you look at it, even at the Washington game, you look at their passing offense, it started out, I would say, not too bad against Washington. They spread them out. They were trying to get the ball out quick, and Brady was doing that. But you look at the offense, at times, they just sputter, especially in the passing game. It's like
the third down conversion, the three and outs.
Yeah, and you look and you go.
And it's valid to complain about their offense despite the 31 points a game.
Yeah.
Because Tom Brady has talked about how the offense isn't performing properly.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Their rookie punter has had a ton of punts so far, and he's great. You know, he goes out there, he does a hell of a job, but that's just – it's too many punts for the opponents that you have faced early in the season here.
It's concerning. It's concerning because you look and you go, well, when we play against a team that does have a good offense and does have a pretty decent defense, so we know we might not win this game 30 to 28, where it might be one of those games where we only score, you know, we have to score like 21 or 24 because the defense has given up, you know, 20 points or so. You start to look and you go, is our passing game good enough, or are we going to have a good enough passing game against the defense that's given us some problems? And where's that passing game going to come from? We kind of know what Julian Edelman is. Josh Gordon?
Yeah, no.
Bro, no. We got to figure out what we're doing, who you are, what
we're
doing.
We got to figure out what
his
deal is, that's for sure.
Philip Dorsett, now he's
hurt.
Got the hamstring. Jacoby Myers is an afterthought.
Yeah.
It goes Izzo and Lacoste before Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, it might.
Actually, it does. Yeah. That's what's really sad. 617-779-7937. Brad's in Maryland. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Wiggy, you're getting better every day.
Well, thank you.
And Keith, stay strong.
Thanks.
I was at Sunday's game and happened to be on the first row at the 35-yard line right in front of where Josh Gordon ran that post about the second or third play of the game. One thing that I saw in person that I didn't see on the replay is the defensive back pulled down one of his gloves, and he wears his gloves like Edelman where he doesn't have them on. He doesn't cinch them. And Gordon literally had to slow down or, you know, to fix his glove, which kind of bothers me to thinking, you know, if you just wear your equipment right, and that's what really slowed him down. I mean, I think his knee's bothering him, but I have a question for Wiggy on that. Why don't the coaches require these guys to wear their gloves? I remember a play last year where Edelman did the same thing. Somebody tugged on a glove. He had to pull it back up in his route. I mean, it just seemed – I mean, that's something you guys probably missed, and you can go back and look at it. But
I'll check it out.
I wanted to hear your thought on that.
It's hard for me to picture a defensive back tugging on a guy's glove while he's running down the field.
Good first call on the show today.
Thank you. You could grab a guy and...
Right, if you grab his arm and...
Talk about the gloves.
Well, Edelman, I wore them like that where I didn't Velcro it because it looks cooler, so you
Oh, well, that's important.
I hear you.
And then if somebody grabs your arm, now the glove is halfway off your hand.
Yeah, it's tough. Now you're going to catch the ball and the glove.
Or you're doing what he said is you're running down the field trying to fix your glove as you're
You definitely look cooler with it undone.
Yeah, you definitely.
I actually like that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft at 11:30 about the Bruins 3-0 start and Tuukka Rask's departure off the ice after the game last night. We'll talk to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, at just after 1 o'clock. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Not being a smart aleck when I say this, okay? Please don't take this the wrong way. Have you ever been involved in like the pregame, you know, coin toss handshake thing before an NFL game? And it's kind of standard procedure. Everybody just sort of daps and, hey, how you doing?
Daps it up. Good luck. Yeah.
You know, a little handshake, a little bro hug.
Smooch if you're Sam Darnold.
Well, we don't have to go that
far,
Rich.
If you're Sam Darnold, you might want to kiss everybody.
Magic and Isaiah, they did
you
that.
Kiss?
They did. So there was a big deal, apparently, over the weekend. When Baker Mayfield is playing against the 49ers.
Yeah, Monday night.
And Richard Sherman is coming out and complaining afterwards about hey, he hasn't done anything in the league.
How disrespectful he is.
You know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, at least he's won an MVP. He wouldn't do that, but at least he could. And then video starts showing up, showing Baker Mayfield shaking Richard Sherman's hand and everybody else's hand.
Well, here, apparently NFL etiquette, as Richard Sherman puts it, would be handshake, coin toss, second handshake. Don't run to your team yet. Right. Don't get ready
because
for the game.
The quarterback.
Give another handshake. By the way, Tom Brady doesn't even do the coin toss.
He doesn't even go out there.
He doesn't even walk out there. And now Richard Sherman's all upset. Now, it fired
up the
Niners,
though. The second handshake is clearly more important than the first
one. They love that. The first one's just for, whatever. Like, who cares about that one? Coin toss. Once you find out what side of the field you have to start on, then you got to give another good luck. We're going to miss you out there.
So then the video started showing up, showing Baker Mayfield shaking everybody's hand, doing all the stuff you're supposed to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that caused Richard Sherman to have to appear on Pat McAfee's podcast, I guess, and kind of explain what was going on.
Oh, it's going to be a bit of both. You know, it's definitely my bad. You know, I never want anybody to have to some stuff that they didn't that they didn't do, you know. And so, you know, the questions that he's going to get and the annoying nonsense questions about some stuff that happened in a game that's already been done, you know, sure, he'll get an apology for that. I'll probably reach out to him via text or social media to actually get a hold of him and talk to him in person. I mean, on the phone. But because that sucks. But first off, that was a great name y'all came up with, like Dapgate. I was crying laughing. But he definitely deserves an apology, and that's my bad on that.
I'm the best corner in the game.
He made up the whole thing. But guess
totally
what?
He made it up.
But guess what? It worked for the Niners. He claimed that Baker Mayfield disrespected him. And he didn't.
He didn't.
But Richard Sherman went over and told the defense that, and they all got fired up. Nick Bosa was still pissed about Mayfield beating him in college, and so he went out there, and he was doing a flag dance and all that stuff. It got the Niners fired up. Baker Mayfield didn't do anything wrong, but here's the other part of it.
It's good head game play by Sherman.
It is. It actually worked out for him.
Yeah, see,
and
during the game, that's fine, but when you're complaining to the media after the game and you know you're lying.
Richard Sherman comes across as a bit of a clown here. After
don't you ever talk about me!
Especially for, of all guys, to be talking about etiquette. I could care less about etiquette. You know that, Dale. I could give a crap about the unwritten rules of football or whatever else. Just go out there and win. That's really the name of the game.
Post-game handshake line, not really
your thing.
Don't
need that. Nope. Go home. Get out of there. The game's over. Get out of there. You don't need to hug anybody. You don't need to say good job, good effort. You're done. You don't need to do
everybody,
it.
Imagine if they did that in football, like in hockey. All right, everybody line up at the 50-yard line like in high school.
But the other thing is, it's easy for Richard Sherman to convince his team that Baker Mayfield disrespected him because it sounds like something Baker Mayfield would do.
Right.
He did it in college. Remember there was the one, I think it was at Kansas, where they went out there and they all went to shake hands and both... No, actually, Kansas didn't shake Mayfield's hand. That's what it was.
Was that what it was?
Because he was talking trash and Mayfield went to shake their hands and they all stood there stone face. And then Mayfield went out there and put up like 50 on them and was, you know, flipping the bird to the
crowd. It's a good psychological play by Richard Sherman.
And it ended up working out.
But to continue and carry it on after the game.
What's the point?
Yeah, what's...
And it's not like you don't play them ever again. You're going to play them in 4 years.
Right.
You know, neither of you might be there anymore.
You already you've done your job and to get your team riled up and be like, oh, man, that Baker Mayfield, we going to go
get
him.
Yeah, why put it on him after the fact?
Well, I guess
that's just Richard Sherman.
Well, once you
at least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
So that was him talking about.
He would not have been walking this back on McAfee's podcast yesterday if everybody on the planet wasn't tweeting out video footage of Baker Mayfield doing exactly what Richard Sherman said he didn't do.
Well, maybe he was trying to feel in his mind like, all right, I started the slide. How far do I go with it?
And he's like, oh, wow, that was easily proved that I am lying. I should probably walk
this
back.
There's video of this?
Yeah, whoops.
He probably didn't think there's no video. Maybe nobody noticed the handshake.
Nope. But Baker Mayfield, though, he's got a bunch of different rivals already, doesn't he? Between Rex Ryan, all opposing defenses,
and
Richard Sherman.
And you know what doesn't help him? His play. His play,
100%.
His play doesn't help him.
100%.
He had a good year last year. He kind of got this little swag attitude.
Yeah.
Now he's,
and now the expectations are higher, and he's got
the best one of the best, two best wide receivers in the
best
league.
Best duo, and it's not going well.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. We'll get right back to the calls in just a moment. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft at the bottom of the next hour about the Bruins 3-0 start and the play of Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak. And Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, just after 1. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.